So let me start off right away. And this is an excuse that I'm giving you this morning, but I did a wedding yesterday afternoon. And, you know, normally on Fridays I come in and I go through my message. So my second time going through the message, I write it usually during the week. And then I go through it and I highlight things and everything. Well, I was going to, after the wedding, it was an afternoon wedding, and I said, oh, I'll come back to the synagogue and I'll work on it. And then, but, you know, things went late and everything. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to go home and I'll come in the morning. Maybe I'll take a look at the message. So I want you to know I'm sort of winging it this morning a little bit, because this is the first time this morning that I've looked at my message since I, and you know me, I can't even remember what did I write 3 days ago, 2 days ago. It happens when you get older, trust me. So it's not really an excuse. It's an excuse, but I'm just letting you know anyway. All right. Okay, so so here we are on the counting of the Omer, and I've been thinking about this. Diane and I are thinking about this more and more. You know, it's really hard for us to believe that we're getting to that point where Rabbi Jude and Jennifer are coming in very, very soon. And so they're going to actually, they'll be here next Shabbat for services. And then on June 3rd, they are going to come in. And for 4 months, we are going to have a transition period where we'll all be together. And then, as everyone knows, right after Rosh Hashanah, because it's our 30th anniversary for Kol Mashiach, Diane and I will be sort of handing the baton over and exiting, in the last few weeks, it's a little surreal to us to, you know, really start really thinking about it now that this transition is going to be happening. So this morning, I want to talk about personal transition in our lives, because we're doing a major transition in the congregation. It's going to affect everyone in the congregation, hopefully positively, but we all have transitions that we go through in our lives. And you know, you have all, probably even some of you younger people, have gone through many transitions in your life. You see, and so it is really a personal thing. So that's what I wanted to talk about this morning, just a little bit. In the midst of transition, it's good to keep priorities in when we're doing transitions, and it's good to keep our priorities in order, and that means. One of the major things is we are to really prioritize God in our transitions in our lives, especially now. Maybe not when we were younger, maybe before we gave our lives to the Lord, but as most of us in here, as believers, we need to make sure that when we are going through transitions, because we're all going to still go through transitions in our lives, that we need to prioritize the Lord, to put the Lord first in our lives. And I know it sounds sort of trite to say that, well, we should always keep God first, but it is something that we really need to keep in front of us all the time. We need to keep that in our minds. And so personally, I believe that change, if promised by God, if we go through transitions and we know that God wants us to go through certain transitions in our lives. And so if we know that God's in it, that the transition will ultimately be good. Sometimes it'll seem like tough. It'll seem like a rough road a little bit. But if God is in the transition, it will ultimately be a good transition. And if God is in the transition, it will almost always be No matter what we're doing and happening around us, we know that end result is going to be true. And again, this is in our personal lives. Yeah? So I'm glad at least two people in here agree with that. Okay? But I'm hoping that you really understand that. Personal change and personal transition gives each of us a fresh start, so to speak. It gives us a time where we have a chance to make amends, maybe with relationships with people, maybe things that are going on in our lives, to make amends. It gives us a chance to refocus our vision of things in our lives. And it gives us a chance to make commitments or recommitments. And maybe that transition may not be the utmost thing in that transition, but throughout the transition, we have these wonderful fresh restart opportunities to do these things within what God is transitioning us from one area to another. And like, here's an example. You know, you may be leaving a job. You find a better job. And so you have a transition to a better job. And so that seems to be your focus. I'm going from this job to this job. But I want you to know that God gives you opportunities within that transition period to do all these other things, recommitment to prioritize things, recommitment to make amends with people and relationships, to refocus other things in your life. Not just the point, not just going from one job to another, but he gives you all these opportunities during this transition to do other things with that, if you really can understand. So priorities, for some of us, we sometimes claim that we're not, sometimes we claim that we don't have priority. We don't prioritize things in our lives. Sometimes people say, well, I just live one life to the next. I don't really put things in order. You know, there are some people that, and the only way to say it is, some people are really anal. Hey, it's the only way to say it. It's anatomy, folks, so that's it. Everything is in order, and they make lists. They make lists of everything they're going to do that day. They make lists of everything. You know, and then some of us, or they go on a vacation, and they make a list of everything they're going to do every day, where they're going to go, what they're going to do. You know, personally, I just like to go sometimes and wing it. I just like to go, let's see what happens. Let's see what's in front of us. Let's see how things go. Let's see the opportunities we have, and let's be surprised. But some people, they have to have a list of everything. See, but there are some people that say, oh, I never prioritize anything. I never put anything in order like that. And some people, they don't claim to do that. The problem is this: the way we go through our lives really speak volumes about us, of how we go about in our life and doing things. You know, if you are a person that sort of likes to wing it a little bit, and that's okay. But if you are so unprioritized that your mess is like scattered and you can't get anything together. That's like the opposite end of the anal person. They can't get anything together from day to day, and then they never get anything accomplished because they're too busy trying to get everything together. But we are all kinds of people like that. From the ultra-prioritizing to the people that don't prioritize at all. But the way we live, it does speak volumes to other people especially. And so it's important for us as believers, because the world is watching you. Your family is watching you. They aren't going to say, I'm watching every move you make, but they are watching you because they want to see how you act and react to things. And so it is important for us to prioritize and to really put God first and to let people know that you are putting God first in our lives for a very special reason, because as Bob said, we know he will take care of us. And it's not, well, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to lift a finger. I'm not going to do anything because I'm going to let God take care of me. Because what we're doing is we're prioritizing and just putting him first and then doing the things that we know that we should be doing. So with all that said, I want to get to a scripture this morning from our Haftarah portion. And if in my New King James, there's a subheading in that portion, and the subheading says, Jeremiah prays for understanding. I don't know if yours says that, but mine is sort of, you know, whoever has done this translation of the New King James, they want people to know basically what's going on in the next verses. But they put this thing there, and it's, let me tell you, it's really surprising. This was this, Jeremiah asked God for wisdom or for understanding. So let's look. Jeremiah 17 through 22. And actually, it's quite a few verses, so I'm putting it on two different PowerPoints. O Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. You show loving kindness to thousands and repay the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, whose name is the Lord of hosts, you are great in counsel and mighty in work, for your eyes are open to all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. And you have set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt to this day, and in Israel and among other men, and you have made yourself a name as it is this day. You have brought your people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and wonders, with a strong hand and an outstretched arm and with great terror. You have given them this land of which you swore to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. This is what the subheading said. Jeremiah asked God for wisdom and understanding. I don't read anything in here where he asked God for wisdom and understanding. Do you? What is he doing? He's saying, God, you are great. He's proclaiming the greatness and the power and the mercy and the grace of God. He's telling God how wonderful you are. He's not asking a thing for God here, even though he might have want wisdom and understanding from God. He doesn't ask it. What Jeremiah does do here is he's praising God, he's thanking God, he's speaking about all these things, but he doesn't begin, God, will you give me this? God, I want wisdom. God, I want understanding. God, can you do this for me? God, can you do that for me? God, can you help me? God, can you bless me? Etc. He doesn't do that. All he's doing is, in his prayer for God, in his asking God, he's telling God how great he is and wonderful he is and what he's done for his people and with Egypt and Israel and all these things. He's prioritizing, God goes first. He's not just jumping right on and saying, God, can you do this for me? And it's a weird thing because it's almost as if he's prioritizing so much that God is first, he never really gets to the thing of asking God for wisdom and understanding. But I think God knew his heart, and he knew why Jeremiah was coming to him for the wisdom and understanding. So years ago, I think it was Rick Warren maybe wrote a book, and it was called Okay, yes. All right. So I wrote down what I think is sort of close to one of the things I remembered in there. And it said, it's not about you. The purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment. It's far greater than your peace of mind, even your happiness. The purpose of your life is greater than your family, your career. It's even greater than your wildest ambitions. We are born on this earth for His purposes. Doesn't mean to throw away everything you want to do and try to attain. It doesn't mean that you're dirt in God's eyes. What it means is we are born for His, we were created for His purposes. And so before all these things that we think should come first, our happiness, peace in our lives, and all these things, we need to understand, as he said, that it's far greater than our own personal wants and needs. It's not about us. And that's really what it comes down to. It's not about us. But God is great and merciful. And so, even though it's not about us, it's about Him, He gives us these blessings in our lives. He does all these wonderful things for us. So it's not like we need to be so intent to prioritize, to be asking all the time. Let's just bless the Lord and thank the Lord and put Him first. And He'll give it to you. So Jeremiah's prioritizing God and the spiritual things of God first. Let's go Romans 8, verses 1 and 2, and this is Shaul speaking to the Romans. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Messiah Yeshua, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of God in Messiah Yeshua has made me free from the law of sin and death. Sometimes people have said, and I've heard people say this sometimes, and especially it's people that are these free agents out there that sort of want to do their own thing, and they don't want to, they just want to do as they want to do, and, I don't want anybody to be an authority over me, and I don't want this, and nobody tells me what to do, and I don't need to do this, and I don't need to give, and blah, 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 all these things. And so sometimes these are the people that say, oh, there's no condemnation in Messiah. But that's not what it says there. That's out of context. It says, no condemnation, who walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. So if there are people that are, they're not walking in the Spirit, they are walking in the flesh. They want to do it their own way. They don't want anyone to tell them what to do. They don't want to be a part of a group. They don't want to be a part of anything that's really organized. They want to do their own thing. They're walking in the flesh. So what it is that's what they say is totally opposite of what is telling that person who they are. Because it says, yes, there's no condemnation in God or in Messiah if you are walking in the Spirit and not walking in the flesh. It's how we walk determines our priorities. So when we put our will before God, we are walking in the flesh. And sometimes we do, we don't mean bad. We don't mean evil. But when we put ourselves first, we are get into that realm of putting, of walking in the flesh just a little bit more than we should be doing. We're walking in the flesh. Walking in the flesh is seeking division instead of seeking unity in the body of Messiah. Walking in the flesh is thinking we are better than other people. And it's hard to do that sometimes because we see what people are doing and what we're doing and how they're not doing something and we are doing something. But what happens is when we put ourselves above them, then what's happening is then we get into the realm of we're walking just a little too much than we should be walking in the flesh. Walking in the flesh is envying other people. It's good to look up to people. Shaul even talks about it. Use me as a pattern. Use me as a mentor. Use me as an example in your life. It's fine. It's good to do that. It's good to look at someone that you see and you say, gee, I like the way they're doing things and I would like to be like them. But envying people and wanting what that person has, especially when you envy it and want it, but you're not willing to lift a finger to get it. See, that's walking in the flesh. Self-centeredness. And look, Rick Warren says it's not about us, it's about him. But there are people sometimes that it's all about them. It's everything is about them. Their prioritizing is everything about them and what they have to do in their life because I come first. So that's walking in the flesh. So Shaul tells us that there are two ways, two major priorities in our lives, walking in the spirit, walking in the flesh. Certainly not walking in the spirit where we can't function as a human and we can't function on this earth, that's not it. You know, we're not floating around and everything is spiritual and we can't talk to anyone about anything. And that's not what it's about. But it is about that we walk in the flesh or we are walking in the spirit. Our prioritizing is God or it's all about us and all these things that come with it. And that's what Shaul says, basically. And so in the midst of our transitions, which we go through all the time, it's best to keep our priorities on God. If you're having a change in your life, maybe it's a day-to-day change, maybe it's a year-to-year change, maybe it's a real life change in your life, but we need to remember and just to realize, let's keep God as the priority. And he will do for you. He will bless you. He will direct your path. He will do those things. We keep him first, but the wonderful thing is, it's a wonderful two-way street that we have with God. It's a two-way thing. It's communicating with him. It's loving him. It's being part of his life, and it's him being in our lives. It is a two-way thing. And so, with many times of transition that we have in our lives, sometimes we get so focused in the change and the desires and the goals that we have that our priorities get all out of whack. You know what? We all do this. I tend to do that too. We get a little zealous for something and we get so focused on what we're doing, things get a little out of whack. We all go through this stuff every once in a while, all of us. But God is gracious and long-suffering, and he has wonderful mercy for us, and he is rooting for each and every one of us. through the transitions that we have in our lives and the changes that we have in our lives. Now, especially if you know that God's in it and God has directed you in this way, that we know that he is rooting for us and he is there to help us and he's here to direct the path and he is here to open and close doors for us because he wants us to set our priorities straight. He wants us to do that. So this morning, my words this morning maybe are just to encourage people, because we are, although we're going through this major transition, I understood and I realized that transition is for everyone. It's not just for the congregation. It's for each and every one of us. So I did this in hopes that maybe people could just use this in their lives and use this in the transitions that God is putting before you, big or small transitions. So hopefully the words this morning don't fall on deaf ears, and we'll think about these things as we go through our daily path and living, and as we're going through this wilderness, and one day we see the return of Messiah, and one day we have this wonderful privilege to be with the Lord. So let's just end in a word of prayer this morning. Father, we thank you for giving us apostles and disciples, and for giving Messiah to show us these wonderful examples. And we thank you, Lord, for speaking us. Even in ancient times, Lord, you spoke to us in your Torah, through your prophets in the Tanakh. You spoke to not just the people at the time, but we know because of your great wisdom, Lord, your timelessness, Lord, that you were even speaking to us today. And so, Lord, I ask that these words that you have spoken to Moses, you spoke to the prophets, you directed them to speak to us and write these things down, that these are going to be things that we keep in our hearts day by day, so that we could just tweak our lives and make sure we change that path a little bit here and there, just to be doing the things that you would want us to do. And Lord, we do look forward to the day that we meet you face to face. And so thank you, Lord, for directing our path at this time while we are through that wilderness. We thank you and we praise you, Lord, in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you.